this is Craig Valentine, host of Early to Rise Radio. Have you ever wanted to become wealthier, healthier, wiser, or just have more time to appreciate the finer things in life? On this show, we reveal what high performers are doing every day to be more successful without sacrificing their personal lives. Early to Rise Radio is sponsored by the Perfect Day Formula. Get your free copy of this game-changing success guide at freeperfectdaybook.com. Now let's get started with today's show. Hi, this is Craig Valentine, host of Early to Rise Radio. Today I want to tell you about a dark force that brought a 6-foot, 225-pound police officer and former Marine to his knees. Even though he had spent his entire life building himself up to be invincible, this dark force left him as helpless as a child. He texted me from the emergency room begging for help because he knew that the same thing had happened to me 10 years ago. That's when I suffered through crippling anxiety attacks. And so if you've ever struggled with anxiety, stress, worry, or panic attacks, there are three things that you need to know. First, it's okay and there's nothing wrong with you. You aren't broken. Second, you're going to get better and you're going to beat this. And third, there's a proven formula for getting back onto the path of peace. So we're going to cover all of this on the show today and more. And today will be a day of big, big breakthroughs for you. So let's get started with this episode of Early to Rise Radio and show you how it's very common for high performers to struggle with anxiety and how to help you deal with that so that you can get back to feeling normal and focusing on what matters. Early to Rise Radio is sponsored by the Perfect Day Formula. Get your free copy of this game-changing success guide at freeperfectdaybook.com. Now, my first heart attack occurred on New Year's Day 2006. After a crazy stretch of partying over the holidays, it culminated with a wild New Year's Eve, and I was trying to keep up with my two friends, who I'm going to call Big Mike and Crazy Matt. Now, after a night out with those guys, I woke up around noon after just a couple hours of sleep, and I stepped into the shower. I started to notice that my heart was pounding. I had never felt this before, and I didn't know what was going on. And I spent the rest of that cold January New Year's Day alternating between pacing back and forth in my apartment and trying to lie down and fall asleep, but never worked. Nothing would calm me down. Well, actually, there's one thing, and it's really embarrassing to admit this, but the only time that my body, my heart rate, and breathing felt like it returned to normal was when I sat down to pee like a girl. And so I started doing this every 30 minutes just to get some relief. But still, that wasn't enough. The anxiety and what I thought was a heart attack just got worse and worse. So eventually I gave up and I begged for mercy. At 11:30 p.m. on January 1st, 2006, I walked outside and I hailed a cab. "Take me to the hospital," I said to the surprised driver. But you know what? Funny enough, as soon as I walked and stepped into the cold, fresh air, I actually felt better, you know, just getting out of my tiny little apartment. Still, I went to the hospital, I walked into the emergency room, and it was deserted. It was a Sunday night. And the orderly at the counter, he just looked at me with these skeptical, condescending eyes. I could just imagine what was going through his head. He's probably thinking, oh, this guy's going to come in, he's going to waste our time, he's got the flu, it's something that doesn't need the emergency, maybe he's got a stubbed toe or a headache. And then I said to him, "I think I'm having a heart attack." And I still, to this day, have never seen someone's facial expression change so dramatically, so fast. Within seconds, they had me in the back, and a nurse was taking my vital signs and holding my hand. And the entire visit lasted less than an hour. They quickly determined there was nothing physically wrong with me. They told me to relax, take care of myself, stop drinking so much Red Bull, and soon I was home and I was sleeping. I was cured, or so I thought. The next couple of days, I just kind of felt off, but I didn't miss a session with any of my personal training clients because that's what my job was back then. I was a full-time personal trainer, and I thought I was going to be okay. I thought I was back to being that unstoppable, invincible, 30-year-old healthy guy that could bench press 300 pounds. But I should have known better, and I should have acted better. You see, I knew that there was some dark force out there. You see, my first brush with anxiety was back in college, you know, just under regular stress of exams. I could feel something coming on. And then when I was 25 years old, I got fired from my first job, and I could really sense that there was a dark force wanting to escape. I remember pacing back and forth and breathing really rapidly, but it wasn't a full-on anxiety attack. And I noticed on Sunday afternoons throughout my 20s that I had this weird anxiety under my left pectoral. It felt like burning. And that's when I was hungover, I would feel that. And that was very often back in those days because I was a binge drinking weekend warrior. So this dark force known as anxiety is actually the most prevalent mental health disorder across the globe, according to the World Health Organization. In fact, the New York Times said that 40 million Americans are dealing with anxiety every day. New research from the University of Cambridge revealed adults under 35 are especially prone to suffering from anxiety attacks. I was only 30 when it happened to me. And today, women are twice as likely to experience anxiety than men. Although fortunately, they can sit peeing down and not feel embarrassed by it. So hopefully that gives them some relaxation and comfort, as it did to me. But all joking aside, here's the problem with this dark force. Unlike Darth Vader and the Imperial Force, you can't see or touch anxiety. You can't show it to your friend when you say, hey, there's something wrong with me. Anxiety is the ultimate black box of darkness. Now, the physiology of anxiety is often manifested in adrenaline. So there's a hormone called adrenaline running through your body, and we can increase that from the four horsemen of adrenaline: drugs, alcohol, smoking, and caffeine. Each one of those can contribute to anxiety attacks. In fact, Men's Health published a research study or a report about a research study that found people that drink more than 3 cups of coffee per day have a 30% increase in anxiety. And it manifests itself as a symptom of a heart attack because that adrenaline is involved in what's called the fight or flight syndrome. So whenever you get scared, you either fight or you run, because the adrenaline just rushes through your body. And we've all heard about adrenaline. And yeah, it's good when you're trying to lift a 3-ton car off a, you know, a baby or something. But on a regular day, you just can't have adrenaline rushing through your body. But what do our days look like? Stress, stress, caffeine, stress, more stress, deadlines, more caffeine, no sleep, right? 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 And we have anxiety from this. That's why it's so prevalent. And I had tingles from the top of my head down to the end of my fingertips. I had a tight chest. I couldn't breathe. Elevated heart rate. I couldn't concentrate. Man, it is not something you want to go through. And it feels exactly like I was told a heart attack should feel like, because I have an exercise physiology master's of science degree. And I actually went and watched an open heart surgery in one of my cardiovascular research classes. So I've seen the impact of a heart attack, and I've heard all about it, and I thought I was having one. Introverts are also, I believe, more likely to suffer from anxiety, and that's what I am, a little bit introverted. We also get anxiety from FOMO, fear of missing out, or what I call compare and despair syndrome. And we even get it from envy and trauma. If you've had an unhappy childhood, said expert Wendy Bristow, and there was some level of neglect for whatever reason, you're more likely to be anxious. And if you've ever heard any of my other stories, you know that my father was a 3-decade alcoholic. So there was a bit of an unhappy childhood. There was neglect. And so maybe that led and contributed to my anxiety. So anxiety can attack anyone. It doesn't matter if you're a cop, a mom, a soldier, an entrepreneur, a woman going through menopause, a woman taking care of her parents and her children at the same time, or even a college kid. Anxiety doesn't care if you're financially successful or struggling, physically healthy or unwell. It can hit anyone that suffers from the constant feeling that everything needs to be done now and that you are never able to switch off. So you ever feel like that? That, oh man, you got nothing but work to do and you got bings and buzzes coming in from all your electronics? And that's almost everyone in today's crazy busy world. So if you feel like you have too many deadlines, you're overwhelmed, you're juggling work at home, then you might feel there's a sense of impending doom or nameless dread or that gnawing feeling in the pit of your stomach. And you're suffering from the stress, pressure, anxiety loop. We're not alone. Even the world's biggest celebrities have secret anxiety attacks. So Adele is the world's most popular female singer. And she said, I'm scared of audiences. At one show in Amsterdam, I was so nervous I escaped out the fire exit. I've thrown up a couple of times. I have anxiety attacks a lot. Now, this is one of the most famous women in the world. She's financially secure beyond belief. She has raving fans. But you know what? Like everybody else, she has insecurity. She has overwhelm. And yeah, she has a lot of negativity too thrown at her. And we all have that. We have negativity from other people. We worry what other people think. And we get too busy and too stressed out. Now, here's another very famous person who has a lot of attacks against her, but is also very busy. Gwyneth Paltrow, in her late 30s, relied on alcohol and sleeping pills to deal with her hectic travel and work stress until she finally had a panic attack. She didn't have the right routines, rituals, rules, or pillars of success and transformation in place. Now she does. You know, she lives life the way that she wants to. She follows a certain nutrition program. She's very successful in a whole new world. And it kind of started because she had to deal with her anxiety and panic attacks. She even learned rituals and routines from her ex-husband, Chris Martin of Coldplay. Now, this guy goes on in front of tens of thousands of people and sings. And I actually saw him in Denver, and he put on an amazing show. He's got so much energy. But he says he has funny rituals and superstitions to help him get through the anxiety. He said, there are 18 things I have to do before I can go out to perform. Most of them are too ridiculous to repeat, but one is that he brushes his teeth before he goes on stage. Otherwise, he just doesn't feel smart enough. Isn't that funny? I also watched a YouTube video of him doing a show in Pasadena, I believe, and he said he ate a banana and right before the show, and he said, I don't know what I was thinking because now I'm burping all the time. And it's funny. It's good to see these celebrities open and honest because it makes us feel okay, right? Now, even Bono, the lead singer of U2, I mean, this guy's been selling out stadiums for 25 plus years. He struggles. The morning before a show, he gets nervous and he wakes up with a sick feeling. Now, the solution is to have rituals like Chris Martin did and to come to the realization that it will all be over soon, any stress you're going through. Now, I wish I had known this when I had what I call my second heart attack. So it was time for anxiety to strike back. It was a few months later in the year of 2006. It was March and it was a beautiful, sunny Monday spring morning, the type that we wait all winter long for in Toronto, where I was living at the time. But I woke up with a sense of impending doom. And here's why. I had just had a Tucker Max level night out over the weekend. If you've ever read Tucker Max's book, you know that he does a lot of crazy partying. And back then, man, I was silly and I was burning the candle at both ends. I was training people early in the morning and then I was going out really late at night. And I got really drunk one night in my little hometown of Stratford. And man, I woke up the next day, I was staying at my parents' house. And you know it's bad when your alcoholic father is scared by how hungover you are. And then I drove back to Toronto and I slept deeply on the Sunday evening. But for some strange reason, I had this really, really bizarre dark dream. And I woke up the next day to what I called the sense of impending doom, which led to my day of doom. And that led to a six-week stretch of anxiety. This was a full-on six-week anxiety attack. Every single waking minute, I had those tingles from the top of my head down to the end of my fingertips. I couldn't concentrate on my workouts. I just had that tight chest. I couldn't breathe. I felt so unfortunate. I didn't know what to do. But I did try everything to overcome it. I had yoga and meditation. I did something called Qigong, which is like a standing yoga meditation combination. It's like Tai Chi. I hated all of these things. And I even had to learn how to breathe properly. Most people don't know how to breathe properly. In fact, when you breathe wrong, as I was, you're breathing from your upper chest with short, shallow breaths, like, you know, like the hyperventilation. But when you do that, you increase the carbon dioxide levels in your blood, and that increases the adrenaline in your blood, and that increases the anxiety in your body and your mind, and that is when you start freaking out. Oh, man, that's what I was doing wrong. And I'll tell you more about breathing in a bit. But I also want to tell you how when this anxiety decided to strike back, just like the Empire decided to strike back, I went and bought a dog. I went and got an Ewok of my own to overcome the anxiety because I read that if you pet a dog, it will help you reduce depression, anxiety, panic, blood pressure, all of these things. But guess what? I bought this dog. I brought him home. He cried all the way from this little town of Sunderland, Ontario, back into the big city of Toronto. And I got him back. And I'll admit, we sat in my apartment and I looked at him and I went, oh my gosh, what did I get myself into? I don't know what I'm doing here. And so my friends had given me a leash, and I took him outside, and I tried to walk him around the block in this little trendy neighborhood in Toronto that I lived in. He didn't want to walk. He just sat there and looked at me. I dragged him like halfway down the street, and all these people were looking at me thinking I was abusing this poor little dog. I was just trying to give him some exercise. Jeez. So I thought the next day I'd take him to a park and we'd play fetch because, hey, he's a Labrador retriever, right? Keyword, retriever. I threw the ball. No dice. He just sat there and looked at me. Nothing. So the third day, after I dragged him back to the apartment, of course, the third day, I had to go out for some meetings. And so I went out, I came back, and there were all these nasty notes on my door from my neighbors. And they were saying, hey, listen, buddy, your dog keeps on crying and whining. You better shut him up or we're going to tell the rental people and you're going to get kicked out. So, wow, here he was suffering from separation anxiety. It's causing me more stress. And I realized I bought the dog version of me. So, yeah, I made it worse. And for the next 3 weeks, I slept on the floor so he wouldn't cry at night. Oh, my goodness. But eventually he came to be the most greatest thing that I ever bought myself ever in my life. And he did help me lower my anxiety. But the lowest point was still to come. The lowest point in my life was still to come on a sunny Monday morning in May. This was 6 weeks after I'd been through this anxiety. It was crushing me. Oh my goodness, it was so hard to function on a daily basis. I could only sleep from about 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. and then I'd go and wander the streets just to get some fresh air. I remember coming back from the grocery store. I also didn't have much of an appetite, so I had a candy bar and a banana. And some guy was going to work, and he just looked at me and goes, oh, breakfast is champions, huh? And of course, he didn't know what I was going through. So you never want to judge a book, right? But then on that Monday morning in May, I was training a client at the gym. And he was my friend Richard. He was 5'3", he was 310 pounds. He was an obese 53-year-old lawyer. And I said, Richard, in the middle of this workout, I said, Richard, you need me to take me to the hospital. And he looked at me like I had two heads, maybe even nine heads. Like, what's wrong with you? And that's the black box of anxiety. I couldn't explain it to him. I didn't know what was happening to me. And he didn't know. And he couldn't see. I mean, I looked totally fine. But I got him to drop me off at the emergency room at St. Michael's Hospital in Toronto. And I walked in. This time, there was a lot more people in the emergency room because it was a Monday morning. And I said, I think I'm having a heart attack. And they made me wait 4 hours because they knew I wasn't having a heart attack. But eventually, they gave me a chest x-ray and they gave me a heart rate monitor to wear for 24 hours. And I went home and I brought it back. And they said, we'll call you if we find that there's anything wrong with you. Those were almost magic words. 24 hours went by. No call. And I was already starting to feel so much better. I needed to hear those words. And then, coincidentally, that same day, I went online and I bought a book called Panic Away. I bought an ebook called Panic Away. And I read the first chapter, a bit of an introduction, and I read to the second chapter, and the first 5 words in the second chapter fixed me. They said, there's nothing wrong with you. I didn't even read the rest of the chapter, let alone the rest of the book. There was nothing wrong with me. And I felt like the weight of the world was taken off my shoulders. And funny enough, I sat there and thought, you know what? I'm way too busy to have an anxiety attack. And I was, because I was building my business, my online business, Turbulence Training, and I was getting coaching calls with my business coach, and I would start each phone call thinking, oh, I hope I don't freak out on this phone call and have to leave and just go outside. But reading those words allowed me to overcome it. And I never felt like that way again on the phone with my business coach. But I realized things had to change. I couldn't live my life the way that it was. So I put in place what I called the 5 pillars of success and transformation to overcome the anxiety. And I'll talk about those in a future episode. But right now I want to focus on how I had to put more structure into my life. Because this gave me true freedom. Now, it sounds kind of weird. Like, what do you mean structure gives you freedom? But structure does give you freedom. It's the paradox of structure. The more structure you have in your life, the more true freedom you'll have. because I was suffering from the paradox of freedom. I had what everybody thinks they want. I was able to train less and less and less, and I was running my online business, and I didn't have to answer to a boss, and I was able to work anywhere I wanted to, but also anytime I wanted to, and I ended up working more and more and more. And then, as I mentioned before, I was partying too much, and all of that caught up to me. Just like for Mike Tyson, he had the paradox of freedom. He earned $300 million in the ring, and he spent every penny because he had no boundaries. There was no one around him saying, "No, Mike, you can't buy the tiger, Mike. You can't buy all these fancy things," and he wasted all his money. Same with Johnny Depp. You hear about rock stars, movie stars getting into drugs and alcohol and ruining their lives because they have no one around them saying no, no putting boundaries in their lives, no rules for their life. And I realized I needed to put that type of structure into my life. I needed to have bedtime, wake-up time, stop time for work, better living habits. And when I put that structure into place, I became 10 times more successful. And we'll talk about that in a bit. That's what this podcast is all about. But first, I want to finish off with the anxiety and tell you about the aftermath that I suffered for a couple of years. I never had a full-blown anxiety attack. I never walked in and thought I was having my third heart attack. But there were many times where I could feel an anxiety attack coming on. There was that burning sensation in my left pec. You know, eventually I did get a little careless and get hung over a few more times, but not too often. And I could feel that bubbling to the surface. But I had all these things in place that helped me overcome it. And I'll talk to you about them in a second. But first, let's go through the five factors of anxiety. These are five things that cause it so much. They cause it from my friend, the police officer, who texted me from the emergency room. And I made a video on Instagram for him. I wrote an article for him. And I talked about these five factors. First of all, it's confusion. When you're rushing around and you have no plan to your day, you feel overwhelmed. And that's the second part. You feel overwhelmed because there's too much going on in your life. There's too many things to do, too many social media things to check, too many television shows to watch, too many people to call, too much fun to have, too much of this to do, too much work. You know, the confusion and the overwhelm really leads to us being stressed out. And we end up becoming reactive, which is the third factor of anxiety, and distracted. You know, we are trying to do one thing, and then our email bings, and we go and check it, and then our Facebook bings, and we go and check it, and we're distracted. Confusion, overwhelm, reactive. And all that leads to an increase in adrenaline, causing the stress that brings on the anxiety. And I could have stopped there, but you know what the biggest factor might be in making it worse? Is isolation. You don't want to tell anybody. You're embarrassed. What's going on with me? I spent an entire day in my apartment thinking I was having a heart attack because I was too embarrassed and scared to go to the emergency room. What if I was having a heart attack? I would have died. I would have died, and they would have found me, you know, with pee all over my pants and alone in my room in my apartment in Toronto. What an embarrassing way to go. Here I was supposed to be Mr. Healthy. Man, I was so scared. I don't want to talk to anybody about it. I don't want to tell anyone about it. And neither did my police officer friend. And if you're going through any of this, you might feel this way too. But I implore you, do not isolate yourself. Now, let me tell you how to solve each one of those problems. There's five solutions for the anxiety. For confusion, when you have no plan, you must reflect, plan, and prepare better than ever before. I had to put better sleep habits into place, better diet into place. My diet was great 6 days a week, but on the weekends it was poor and there was alcohol and caffeine and geez, everything I knew I shouldn't be doing to myself, especially in large binge drinking doses. And I had to put in better morning routines and better rituals for living. And that alone saved me. But there's still four more solutions. When you are overwhelmed and there's too much going on, you have to give yourself permission to say no. Say no to what doesn't serve you. Say no to what causes you stress. Eliminate those distractions and temptations from your life. It's the right decision for your right life. You can't worry about upsetting somebody else if their demands on you are going to put you in the hospital. That's not what life is about. There's better ways to live. Next, the solution for distraction. When you're reactive, you again need the permission to say no, and you need to prioritize and focus. You need to turn your alerts off on your email and social media. Walk away from your computer. I remember at that time, my online business was going really well, and I remember getting a lot of negativity and critics and attacks from people online through comments on my blog and emails. And one day I just decided to turn the computer off and walk around the block. And when I did, I realized, oh my gosh, there's nobody throwing stones at me out on the streets of Toronto. All these people that hate me on the internet wouldn't have the balls to say anything to my face. I've noticed that ever since Facebook came around, compared to having blog comments in the past, which were all anonymous, today I hardly get any critical attacks because everyone has their real name on Facebook. And so that's the truth about that, my friend. So prioritize and focus. Don't get distracted. And when you get stressed, that is when you have to bring in breathing, meditation, gratitude. If you have a dog, take your dog for a walk. Go for a walk in nature. All of these things away from the bleeps and blurps of the electronics and the light that it emits that gets us aroused. Oh my goodness. There's ways to decrease your stress. So breathing, as I mentioned before, I didn't know how to do it. Here I was, 30 years old, thought I was in the professional leagues for breathing. I've been doing it for 3 decades. Don't tell me I don't know how to breathe. But I didn't. I was doing those short, shallow breaths from my upper chest. And that was increasing the carbon dioxide and adrenaline in my bloodstream. And that was leading to stress and anxiety. And I had to go to yoga and meditation and Qigong and learn how to breathe in through my nose and fill up my belly and hold that breath for a couple of seconds and then exhale slowly. And when I did that, if I would do that even for a minute, again, the weight of the world would be off my shoulders. So here's what I want you to do. Whenever you get stressed out and anxious, I want you to sit there. Sit upright. You can close your eyes if you want. Breathe in through your nose. Take in a big, big breath for 4 seconds. Hold that big belly breath, you know, big Buddha breath for 7 seconds. And then exhale slowly for 8 seconds. Now, Dr. Andrew Weil says if you do this 2 times, it will reduce your stress. If you do it 4 times, you might actually put yourself to sleep. And I've used it. It actually does really help. So that breathing exercise alone is great. But you could do 4 seconds in, 6 seconds out, and do that 6 times for 60 seconds of stress relief. It's that powerful. I eventually took up meditation after failing on it many times. The first time I tried was after my first heart attack. The second time I tried was a couple years later when I felt an anxiety attack coming back on. But it wasn't until 7 years later that I actually made it a habit. And I do at least 5 minutes, usually 20 minutes of meditation every single day, breathing slowly, calming down my thoughts. And it's made a huge difference. But those are all things you can do to overcome that fourth factor of anxiety, which is adrenaline and stress. And then the fifth one, the isolation, the fear of other people's judgment, the embarrassment. Oh my goodness, please put this aside. This is probably one of the most important ones for you to overcome. Reach out. Talk and touch. You need to talk to somebody and you need to get physical touch. You need hugs. You need handholding. When I went to the emergency room the first time and the nurse held my hand in the back room and said everything was going to be okay, I went from 100 miles an hour to 0 miles an hour. You know, usually you go from 0 to 60. I went from 100 to zero, and that's what I wanted. Touch and talk. It's so important. And for me, I added one more thing. I had a lot of envy issues. I was envious of other people being successful, and that made me want to work so much more, and that made me want to party so much more. Big mistakes. And I realized my envy was a part of it. And so what could I do? What could I do? Well, I invented something called thank you therapy, which is kind of like gratitude. And instead of being envious of somebody, I would send out thank you cards to people saying, thank you for being successful. Thank you for being a leader. Thank you for being a friend. And it totally reversed my mindset. And again, it helped me reduce my blood pressure. Now, instead of me being envious of somebody, I'm thankful for them. And that reduces my fear and isolation from the world and reduces my adrenaline and stress and anxiety. So all of these things work for me, and I want them to work for you too. But there's a few more things. I also discovered the power of a morning routine. My anxiety was partially caused because I would get up at 7:30 in the morning, and to me, even though that might be early to you, that was late for me. And I'd roll over and I'd check my email, and that would put me under more stress. And I realized one fateful day in 2006 during that anxiety attack that no, this is not working for me. And so I started getting up 5 minutes earlier and checking my email 5 minutes later. And in that spread between getting up and checking email increased over time. And it reduced my stress so dramatically. So when you get up a little bit earlier than everyone else, you don't have to get up at crazy hours at 4 or 5 in the morning. Just get up a little bit earlier than everyone else in your household. That way you're on time. You're ahead of the game. And if you go down and sit at your kitchen table and spend 15 minutes working on your number one priority in life, with no interruptions, you'll have a huge victory. You'll have progress that the world can't take away from you, and you'll end every day with gratitude for that. Power of the morning routine will help you overcome anxiety. But so will the power of an evening routine. So I teach people to do something called a brain dump, and you can see that in my book, Perfect Day Formula, and my kit, Perfect Day Formula Kit, where I just tell people to scribble out all the ideas going through their mind at the end of the workday so they can go home and be present with their family. Get all those thoughts out of your head so you can be focused. And at the same time, make your to-do list for the next day. Because if you're doing it in the morning, your to-do list, you're already too late. You're already going to be anxious and behind the eight ball. And I also recommend old school living. Decrease your social media and set an alarm for 60 minutes before you go to bed so that you get into a wind down routine. No electronics, no screens, no email, no social media. Just talking to your spouse or to your children, reading them a story, reading a story to yourself, read a book, read a magazine. Just relax. And you'll have a great night's sleep, and you'll wake up on time, you'll be ahead of the game, and that is how you live your life. So yeah, there's structure there, but that's the paradox of structure, because structure brings true freedom. You control what you can. That's what the Stoics taught me. Control what you can, cope with what you can, and concentrate on what counts. That's the 3C formula of my Perfect Day Formula book. And even there's great overlaps with cognitive behavioral therapy for overcoming anxiety, where you learn that you are in control of your feelings. It's not the other way around. Your feelings don't control you. You are in control of your feelings. You control your thoughts, words, and deeds, no matter what is going on around you. And yeah, it takes practice, and yeah, it takes routines and rituals, but trust me, you can make it work. I was able to do that. I was able to overcome the anxiety and live free today. I mean, there's no greater mental prison than being in those anxiety attacks. And so if you're struggling with them, just know that you can overcome them. But you need to have more rules for your life, more structure. And I know that sounds crazy, but listen to this. Here's an amazing quote from the author Paulo Coelho, the author of The Alchemist. He said, "Discipline and freedom are not mutually exclusive, but mutually dependent. Because without discipline, you would sink into chaos." And that's where I found myself in the spring of 2006, in utter chaos. Walking into an emergency room at the age of 30 thinking I was having a heart attack? That is chaos. I will trade rules for my life any single day in order to get rid of the chaos. And that's what I did. I put rules in place. I put structure in place. And not only that, I discovered the 5 pillars of success and transformation that helped me overcome the anxiety. And these same 5 pillars have helped my clients lose 20, 30, 53, and even 75 pounds in 12 weeks. They've helped my clients fund the love of their life. They've helped people write a book. They have helped people accomplish great things. And I'll tell you more about those soon, but we're out of time for today. But until then, my friend, I wish that you'd never, ever have to deal with anxiety attacks. But if you are going through this or somebody else you know is going through this, tell them about this show. And tell them that many high performers suffer from anxiety. Please stay strong and use my Jedi mind tricks and success systems to fight off the dark side. You can overcome your stress, anxiety, worry, and panic. Now, of course, goes without saying, make sure you go to the doctor. Get checked out. But once you're told that there's nothing wrong with you, let me tell you this, you're going to get better and you're going to beat this. This is my life's mission, to help people get through their anxiety. And I'm happy to help you because others were there to help me too. So don't be afraid to reach out through earlytorise.com or through Facebook or Instagram or comments. Just let me know if you're going through this. Let me be some of the social support you need. All right? So I'll talk to you soon, my friend. And remember, you're going to get better and you're going to beat this. And if you're not going through this, please share this with anyone you know who might be. Thanks for listening to Early to Rise Radio. Please head over to iTunes today and rate the show. Share with your friends, and don't forget to get a head start on your success, to find those five pillars to overcome any obstacle in your life, and get the secrets to taking control of your mornings and owning your day. You can get that in my blueprint to a successful life at freeperfectdaybook.com.